Sarah, are you ready?
I'm a lady.
And welcome to Idol Days, the show about idol anime. I'm Star.
And I'm Sarah.
And it's Happy April, everybody. A new month, a new anime that we watched a show about.
Yep. Woo! And this is our official April episode since the one where Star's audio cut out didn't fully record, but she definitely likes Nico now for real.
Lies and slander upon my person. Anyway,
April Fools!
This is not our April Fools episode, Sarah. This is coming out several days later.
But in regards to our last episode, April Fools, Star's audio didn't really cut out.
Sarah and I were talking about recording an April Fools episode, and I was just like, I was buried under a mountain of bullshit I had to do, and I was like, Sarah, I love you so much, I don't know if I can record an episode. And she was like, don't worry, Star, I'll take care of it. And I was just like, what do you mean you're gonna take care of it? And then a couple days later, she messages me and says, hey, can you give me the password for the podcast account and or just take this file, don't listen to it, and upload it without listening to it because it's a secret from me, your co-host Sarah. And I was like, this is the most suspicious thing you have ever asked me to do. Okay.
The real fool was Star.
I had to look at the waveform to see, and I was just like, why are there so many big gaps? What did you do? What did you do to this episode? What happened? But I posted it.
Well, it wasn't me. It was just that your audio didn't record. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm. The slanderous things that were said in this episode, I don't think my image will ever recover from. Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. I did like the Yamato's dad bullshit call out, though, because I am still mad about that. Believe it or not, it's been years.
My favorite part about the April Fool's Day episode is I say, Star, tell me your beef. And then there's 5 minutes of silence. I think that's funny.
Anyway, get yourself a best friend who will just slander you for an April Fool's Day joke. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about today. I'm aggressively swerving the topic. We watched a new show for this month, and our new show is an old boys show. Old men, boys, boys, old men. Eternal Boys is the show that we watched.
And they are eternally boys. Except they're not, because they're old.
For various reasons, yeah. So the concept of the show is that all of the main characters, there's six of them, they are starting an idol group, and their main quirk that makes them unique and interesting is that all of the boys are like, it was like 35 and older?
Yes.
Was the cutoff? Yeah.
As we had talked about way back in Side M, you know, they're boys, teens, and men?
No, boys, dads, and teens, and one of them is a dad, so we have to include the dad category.
Yep.
The dadigory.
Yep. The daddy-gory, even, which we talk about later.
No! No, well, yes, we will have to bring up that. That was the funniest bit in the show,
okay? It was so good. It was great. It was such, like, we'll talk about later. One joy about this show is they do all act like old men in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Which is great, and we'll talk about it.
It is very funny.
But some background, Eternal Boys, it started, the plot was an anime only. There was some hype because, you know, old men idols.
Old men doing stuff.
Yeah, and here's the thing that's wild, is they did make a game, but the interesting thing about the game is it's not about the main cast. It's not about the Eternal Boys. It's about side idol groups.
Is that why there were so many of them on the wiki?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I do not know these boys. Who are they?
Which is an interesting choice when the whole gimmick for the show is the Eternal Boys, the old guys, not just young boy idols. But the spinoff show, or the spinoff game, is about the young boy idols.
The young boy idols are the only ones that sell, kind of proving the show's concept just right there in the open, huh?
Yep, right there.
Mm-hmm. So, we could talk about maybe our general thoughts before we kind of dive too deep into the actual plot. First of all, this show gave me a heart attack. Sarah and I were talking about this right before we started recording. Because, you know, notable procrastinator in not all things, but often with the shows that we watch for this podcast. I sat down to watch this about a week ago thinking, oh, it's a 12 episode anime. I'll be able to sit down and watch that. I might bump it up to like 1.5 speed just to, you know, like watch it a little faster if it gets really down to the time crunch, but I can handle it. It'll be fine. And then I go like look at the episode listing for this show and it shows 24 episodes. And I was like, Sarah.
Danger.
Sarah, I'm in danger. I'm in danger, Sarah. So it turns out there are 24 episodes, but each episode is about 12 minutes. So they're half-length episodes.
And each of those half-length episodes also have an opening and ending. So all told, it's less content than a 12-episode anime, probably.
Yeah, we didn't, like, count the minutes or anything sure. like that, but, you know. You know.
Yep.
But yeah, should we talk about the characters a little before we get into it? Because we all kind of meet them at the same time.
We do. So we have our first group, or our group, our main group, the Eternal Boys. So these are all our Eternal Boys. Our first person is our main character. He is Sanada. He is a normal man.
Normal man.
he's like the Cinderella Girls producer normal. Like
he is, yes.
Yeah.
Suit. Except like not as deep voiced and intimidating. He is normal man who works in sales. Literally, that is his thing.
Yep. He wears a suit everywhere. At the start, he is job searching. He has no dreams to become an idol. He's just a normal man.
He's just a guy, got no ambitions except for staying employed in a comfortable job, and he had that for a while, and then the company he worked for most of his life went bankrupt.
Bum, bum.
And now he doesn't have a job, but bum, he's bum. Really good at sales.
Yep.
And so he winds up being an idol because he misreads the advertisement for the Idol Boys and is like, oh, this is a sales position. And he goes and he bombs the interview like so hard. Mm-hmm. But then they're like, we like his spirit. And idol culture is all about taking a person who sucks and improving them. Put him in the idol group.
Yeah.
And so then he's in the idol group and he's just kind of confused about why he's there, but he's doing his best.
Yep.
So that's Sanada.
And he has no other options. So here
he
is.
No other options because he can't get another job. Ain't that just... This show really is, yeah. Like, how desperate are you for employment?
Yeah. and when he becomes an idol, he does meet the other idol boys, so we can go through the rest of them really quick.
Yes, yes, yes.
So next person I'll talk about is, we'll talk about Yamanaka. He is one of the employees of the production company, which is Paku Pro? They just call it Man Pro, basically.
Man Pro, producing quality mans
men
since XYZ year.
Woo! And he has dark skin, spiky brownish green hair. He has a goatee. He is a former fashion model turned entertainment producer and has worked at this company for a long, long time and ended up founding this idol group as a last-ditch effort to make the company money.
and his boss was like, hey, since this project was your idea, you get to be an idol now. So in some ways, he's kind of Ritsuko Idolmaster.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Manager turned idol.
And he does also seem to be doing some production stuff at the same time, it seems like he is the one who orders the posters and
doesn't do a good job at it.
Presumably books their venues. I don't know.
Shakes my head.
Who knows?
Anyway, our next boy is I should go ahead and say this up front that when I was taking notes for this show, they introduced all the characters at the same time and I tried to learn their names. and had some difficulty. So rather than write their names in my notes, I just kind of wrote a few things about them and used that as their signifier in my notes. So Sanada is the one character whose name I consistently remembered. But then Yamanaka, the guy who we just described, is Manager Man.
Manager Man. Normal Man, Manager Man. Who's next?
Normal Man, Manager Man. And then we have Coast Club Man.
So this is Kakizaki.
Yes. So Kakizaki is his actual name. I'm going to call him Host Club Boy probably for most of this episode. It does what he says on the tin. He works at a host club. He's a very popular host. He's like very suave, very, very good with the ladies, but he's actually good at this. He's not like a womanizer or anything like one would think that trope would be. He's just kind of a chill, nice, attractive guy.
Yes, he's a host club person who respects women.
Respects women, and also, as we see later in the show, makes terrible business decisions.
It happens.
But we'll get there. Oh, they're the things that will be said later in this episode, Sarah. You're not prepared.
I'm excited.
I'm sure you are because you watched the show, so you probably know what some of my beefs are going to be.
I'm very excited. So next dad we will talk about is the dad, Soharu Asai. He is a former soccer star.
Soccer boy.
He has dark skin, kind of long-ish brown hair that is blonde underneath.
He's got a weird little bob. That's real fluffy, and like the underside is like dyed yellow, like lemon yellow.
And he's a former soccer guy, and he's very sporty. He has the sporty personality, so very loud and upbeat.
Kind of stupid.
The most important thing, as we mentioned, is he is actually a dad. He has a child.
You are my dad. You're my dad. Boogie.
The son will definitely come up. It's part of the plot. His son's name is Kaoru. We'll just call him the son. But he does have a kid who is like, I don't know, tween, probably like 12.
Yeah, 12, 13-ish. Point is, this man is a father! And it's a plot point for a couple episodes later, but for the most part, don't worry about
He's
it. He's
dad.
Soccer boy.
Soccer boy.
Yes. Our next character is the former child actor, which made me giggle, considering we did just watch Oshinoko.
Yep. So this is what happens to you, Aqua. This is what happens.
This is what you... Well, I mean, I was kind of thinking it's like, you know, Kana.
Oh, true.
She's the child actor who's a little washed up and just desperate, becomes an idol.
Definitely more of a Kana personality, too. So this is Imagawa. They call him Ima as his nickname in the show. He's kind of on the chubbier side. He has like a fluffy perm. I can picture the old Asian man hairstyle on a real person. And he is the former child star. He's kind of like Kana, right? Like, he's very he's very much like, yeah, I was so good when I was young. You probably recognize me. You probably know me. And he just loves performing.
Yep. He had a couple different jobs. Like, he was a child actor, and then he was an Enka singer, and now he's an Idoru. And he's just a guy. He's a fucking dude. What are you going to do about this guy?
And then the last member of Eternal Boys for now is Ishida. He has glasses. He's a former teacher. At the very beginning, it's kind of confusing because he has the same hair color as Sanada, but then he does bleach it, which does help. I was very confused who he was when he bleached it.
Is like, who is this Clark Kent motherfucker who takes the glasses off and he's a different character? Hello?
But he very much is the glasses type character. He's very serious and stern. There's a whole episode about it. We can talk about it now and glaze over it later. He is kind of obtuse about his reasons for becoming an idol at first. It's later revealed he has been a huge stan of this one idol group called Gentlemen, followed them his entire life. Saw that there was auditions for 30-plus-year-old idols, and he's like, this is my chance to be an idol after all these years of wanting to be one.
Yeah, so he's an idol stan, and he's just, like, very intense but not, like, excitable about it.
Yes.
He's just like, I love my boys.
Yep.
I love this boy in particular.
Yep.
And he just like deadpan stares at you while like showing you pictures of his idol.
Which, like, hell yeah. We appreciate
you. Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, probably my favorite character.
Yeah.
The bar is low.
Oh, really?
But I did enjoy him.
See, here's the thing. I was not a fan. Well, here, we're showing our cards
get into it. Get right? into it, Sarah.
As far as an overarching plot goes, wasn't great. The pacing especially kind of sucked, right? Like, there was... I feel like there's part of it that it started kind of strong. I thought it was fun and funny at the beginning. And then it just kind of lingered and it fizzled out at the end, really.
Yep. This show could have been half the length that it was. And it would have been about the same. Sarah, I am not afraid to admit this to you and our entire audience. I watched this show on 2x speed.
There we go. But my thing is, I actually really like the characters. I think they're all fun. Mm-hmm. I like their voice actors. I looked it up. All the voice actors are older voice actors, too, which is why they actually sound like older men in general, mm-hmm. which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it was a low-budget show. The animation was pretty good for being a low-budget mm-hmm. show. And yeah. the music was good, too.
You'd think that for a low-budget show, the animation and the dance numbers would have looked worse, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah. In fact, it was animated, which is more than I mm-hmm. expected. I was expecting a lot of still frames, but they animated mm-hmm. those dance moves. And it was 2D animation.
No, they did absolutely animate those dance moves. Like, it wasn't fucking moving camera, rotoscoped right. awesomeness like Idolmaster, but it also wasn't fucking weird-ass 3D like some of these shows that we've watched, like later seasons of Oedipree.
And then all the music was pretty good. I guess speaking of Oedipree, it did remind me of Oedipree music, which, again, I do like. It had a lot of, like, jazzy influences, which I think mm-hmm. suited the older Idol vibe. All the voices were good. The only thing is the plot just kind of fizzles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like, the way I was trying to... I was like, you know, while I was watching the show, ping-ponging it around in my head, trying to figure out how I would describe this show when we recorded this podcast episode, is the gimmick of the show, which is idols, but they're old, is doing so much heavy lifting mm-hmm. here. And it's not strong enough to do so.
Yeah, and I think that's where some of the pacing ties into, which we can talk mm-hmm. about. Full spoilers, the ending is really weirdly rushed in the last 2 minutes, basically.
The ending is so bad. Like, I don't even want to talk about the last episode. We could just skip it and nothing will change.
So I feel like when we get to it, they could have decided to focus on different plot points and it would have been more entertaining.
Hocus pocus, the show's got no focus.
Yep.
It's just kind of, like, it feels mean to say, but it feels just, it's not bad enough to be a bad mm-hmm. show that's fun to riff on, but it's not good enough to get excited about talking about
yeah.
it. It reminds me of that one show you watched with the boys that are the days Tsuki of the month Yuta. Or whatever.
Yes.
Tsuki Yuta. It reminds me of how you talked about that show, where it's mm-hmm. just like, oh, I gotta go watch Tsuki Yuta now. That was me with Eternal Boys.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. I actually did like watching it. I had fun with it.
I wouldn't
watch it again. I would watch the music videos again, though. Honestly, I do like the music. And again, I think the boys are fun. And I think the voice mm-hmm. actors are fun, too. That is, I think, one of the highlights for me. Because mm-hmm. I actually think the voice acting was really well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't argue with you there. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, it's just, it felt like a paint-by-numbers idol mm-hmm. anime.
Yeah.
It's like, you gotta have the first concert. You gotta mm-hmm. have the getting the costumes. It's like... they had a list of tropes and they just did not do anything really special with it. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like it's like...
Yeah. So why don't we do like a quick summary of the show? I think Star and I are still practicing getting our not going by episode episode groove. I know we mm-hmm. kind of been falling into that the last few episodes where that's not going to be our goal. So maybe yeah. we'll do like a very broad summary, maybe not even in order so that we can pick up the plot points.
I'm okay with that. Let's get experimental with it. Yeah. Let's go.
So we had talked about with Sonata, main point. He's our main character. We follow him. He gets this job he thinks is a sales job. Turns out to be an idol group. Joins the mm-hmm. idol group. Meets all the other boys.
Mm-hmm.
From there, they start doing their idol activities. It's largely a modern idol activities. So they're mostly streaming, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which, I mean, like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yep. But no matter what they do, they're just kind of overshadowed by... Well, I guess a very specific popular idol group that debuted at the same exact time as them, but they're young
and
boys.
They are not important.
Nope, but they are the main characters, I guess, in the mobile game that's Japanese only.
That just these decisions baffle me.
I know, it's weird. It's really weird. Mm-hmm. But even though, so despite all that, they keep working at it. The interactions between the characters is definitely the highlight at the beginning, like the first few episodes, mm-hmm. which is what I actually enjoyed, right? Because
yeah.
one of my goes for anything is even if there's not a plot, I like good interactions between characters.
Yeah, and like this, the second episode is where we finally meet like all the boys mm-hmm. and they're doing like a live streamed recorded introduction to each other. Mm-hmm. And so like, yeah, this is kind of how you learn about the characters. And it is a like, you know, maybe not the best exposition ever, but like the characters are interesting.
Yeah.
They're fun. I wish the rest of the show was fun.
Yeah. And I think they do like, when we kind of describe the characters, they do all each have their unique spin, right? Like we have our normal man is our main character. Normal man is usually our producer, right? So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. The soccer guy. Yeah. We're used to the Genki sports character, but he has a whole plot point about how he's a dad. And he mm-hmm. has a kid.
And he doesn't know the lingo.
He doesn't know the lingo. Then we have child actor, and he's the washed-up child actor, and he's very full of himself. But he becomes a mentor to a younger child actor who ends up also becoming a minor character. And you see him in a mm-hmm. mentorship role, which is really nice.
He's a minor character because he's a child. I'm literally a miner. I'm going into the coal mines.
The glasses guy, Ishida, we get him as...
he's just a little prickly.
Very, very prickly, very serious. Eventually, it is revealed that he's just a huge idol stan. And because he cares about idols so much, it inspires all the others to work really hard, right? Which is mm-hmm, which is great. Mm-hmm.
But he's a bit of a dick at first.
Kind of a dick at first. Kakizaki is actually one of my favorites. He's the host club guy. Mm-hmm. Where he, like, you go through his whole backstory about, like, how he ended up working at this host club because he pretty much was a good-for-nothing guy. And then he ended up working at the host club, finding his way. His mom died, doesn't have anything to live for anymore. And he's like, let me become mm-hmm. an idol.
Mm-hmm.
So
he became an idol because his mom, when she was about to die, was like, you've always lived for other people. You should try living for yourself. And so, this is so funny because he becomes an idol for himself to like kind of put the spotlight mm-hmm. on himself a little bit and do what he wants to do. And then, spoiler alert,
yep.
halfway through the show, he decides, actually, no, I'm reverting to going back to living for other people because I want to be a producer instead. And he quits the idol group halfway through the show.
He does. So Kakizaki does end up quitting being an idol, and he actually quits. Like, that actually was a shock, because it's, like, halfway through the series, and you're like...
I didn't think they were going to go through
with
it.
I know. I was like, this is just going to be, like, the Honoka Kotori situation, where they're just going to convince him to back out of his dream to just write music. He ends up writing their music, right?
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't happen. Eventually, they're like, you know what, YOLO, do what you want, and we're glad that you still write our music and you're still in the background supporting us. And it's like, yep. Oh, hey.
In the background, making poor business decisions. Oh, oh my fucking god, I liked this character until he became a manager, and then he's like, okay, Gendo Akari, what are you doing today? What business decision are you making today, sir?
Very specifically, when he becomes a manager, he doesn't tell the group anything and announces it on live streams.
He announces it on live stream, and I will never get over that we're just fucking going completely out of order. I don't even care. We're getting experimental with this episode because if we talk about it episode by episode, it's going to be boring as fuck. Okay, so the plot of the second, heavy air quotes plot, the overarching plot that they're leading to and that comes up in the final, second to last episode, is that Kakizaki, host club, became manager. One of his first activities as a manager was booking them a concert at the fucking Budokan.
Let's go.
Is it like one of the biggest venues in Japan?
It's a big venue.
In other idol and music shows, characters talk about getting a show at the Budokan as like their fucking holy grail of performance venues. And they haven't even had an idol. They haven't even had an album come out yet.
Yep.
Their first album comes out a week before their fucking Budokan concert. What the fuck was this man thinking? How did his host club stay in business if these are the business decisions he makes? What the fuck, my guy?
So reading between the lines really was at the point after we talk about the child actor. He's basically the person who's keeping the company afloat. He leaves, and then after he leaves, they book the Budokan. So I think they're implying that...
I was pretty sure it was before that. Hang on. Yeah, they reveal that the Budokan concert is happening in the summer episode, which is a couple episodes before, because the child actor doesn't leave until which episode is it?
Yeah, it's towards the end.
It's towards the end. It's like four episodes later. Yeah, episode 20 is when he leaves.
So yeah, bad business decision.
Bad business decisions!
Look, go big or go home. Let's go to the Budokan.
They went home. They should have gone home. And then Deus Ex Machina happened at the very end. And they were like, oh, actually, we're just famous enough to keep the company afloat. Let's go.
Yeah. So to get to that point, so we have all the characters and their backstories, and that being really the part of the show that I liked is them interacting with each other. Kakizaki, even not before he leaves and after he leaves, becomes very much like a mentor to the other characters, kind of like the fairy godmother-esque character where he's like, look at this and let me help you.
Fairy godmother Gendo Akari, because he does do the fucking pose where he's like, he's man spreading. He's sitting on a couch man spreading. He's got his elbows on his knees and he's doing the fucking like hands crossed in front of his face shit. And he's like looking into the live stream camera. He's like, hello, welcome to the man spread channel. I'm gonna drop some hot shit for you guys today. Check this out. Budokan concert. We are not ready for it, but we're gonna make it happen because this is an anime, and then it doesn't work out and the company goes bankrupt.
And some other interactions, like Sanada, our normal man, he uses his business sense a lot, teaches all the others like how to be polite, basically. They do a thing where, like, instead of handing out flyers, which wasn't successful, they hand out business cards because it's...
Which I did think was cute.
Yeah, it was very cute. And he also uses all of his old sales connections to kind of get them promoted because no one on the company is doing it.
Yeah, no, I was just like, one of the things that I was always a little bit unclear about in this show is, like, so this big company... they preface that they are a 40-year-old company. They've got like all this stuff. It seems very prestigious, but then the closer you look at it, it seems like they just aren't doing nothing to promote this new idol project that's supposed to be the thing that brings them back from the brink of potential bankruptcy.
That's because the person who's working on it is also an idol. He doesn't have time.
He doesn't got time. It's just like, yeah, I can see why you guys are going bankrupt with all these bad business decisions that you're making. I'm so sorry. I do run a small business, and granted, it is a small business, but I've literally had a fucking meeting with my finances guy yesterday.
You want to book the Budokan, sir?
I want to book the Budokan.
Let's go.
But no, it's just like, I see, as a person who runs the business, just seeing this fucking company do all this dumb anime hijinks bullshit, it's just like, the fuck were you thinking? How did you guys stay afloat for this long if this is how you run a goddamn company?
I love that the suspension of disbelief breaks at running a company before you start. That's just very funny to me.
Listen! Listen, I have priorities. Also, since we've kind of sidestepped into the star beef corner, I do have a big one, and it so does not matter, but I need to rant for like 30 seconds.
30
to a minute,
minutes,
if you will
let's
allow.
Go.
30, no, just like give me
go
a sec,
it.
Sarah.
Give time.
So this is a very small point in the show that probably wouldn't have gotten brought up at all if I was not using it as the, I was not shining a spotlight on it as part of the beef corner. So in the shared house that the characters have, they have a cat. His name is Pepe. He's a cat influencer, and apparently he's like the biggest star that this entertainment company has, which is hilarious. I will give them that. This cat is an influencer. It's very funny.
And he's famous for being an ugly cat, which is very funny too.
He's kind of fat, a little bit awkward looking. He's a cringe cat. But anyway, so fairly early on in the show, this is a plot in episodes like 3 and 4, Sanada, normal man, he's trying to get used to being an idol, but he's just not doing a very good job. And at some point he's like out drinking with the boys and complaining. And then a glasses guy, Ishida, says, if you're not going to take this seriously, you need to just leave. And Sanada fucking leaves.
Yep.
He just gets up and walks out. And he's like, okay, bye. And I love that for him, honestly.
If it sucks, hit the bricks.
If it sucks, hit the bricks. And he does. Which, like, good on him, honestly. But anyway, in the following episode, the boys are doing this thing that feels like something that would be, you know, mid-season drama that's happening in what is essentially part 2 of episode 2. And the boys are like reminiscing and being like, oh, even though he left, he was a good guy. He always like was so nice to Pepe, even though he was allergic to cats. And no, he wasn't. They are actively talking about things and having flashbacks to things to reminisce about his character. They're having flashbacks that did not happen in the show.
No, they didn't.
Did not happen in the show. And like, I think it was the child actor guy. He was like, he was always so good with the cat. And I'm like, bitch, when?
We never saw that.
We never saw that shit.
Yeah.
I was just like, you can't do that. You can't have the characters being sad and reminiscing about a character and having flashbacks to shit that we did not see. You can't do that. And that was like the moment in where I kind of flipped on this show. I was just like, oh, so this is going to be a shitty show. Okay, sure. Because if we can do this in fucking episode 4, that's essentially like 40 minutes into the show, not even like 30 minutes into the show, we're doing this. That's some bullshit that this show I don't think is going to recover from, because if they're willing to do this show, who knows what else bullshit they're capable of. I completely checked out after that.
Oh, I see.
I know it's such a little thing. It's such a small thing to get mad about, but it just shows the incompetent. It's the beef corner!
The beef du jour.
Angry. Like, this was legitimately this moment I checked out of the show. I was just like, oh, if they're willing to do that, then who knows what other bullshit they will commit to.
Like bad business
decisions.
Let's
fucking find out. Like bad business decisions.
The worst of anything that an idol show can do.
The worst crime that an idol show can do.
It's a bad
show
business
bad
decision.
Management. Bad business. That Budokan show's coming out of your paychecks.
See, here's the thing. I went into the show, and I think the problem, if you watch it and you're expecting something good, you're going to have a time like Star. If you're just expecting to have some funny jokes every once in a while and some cute old men dancing, you're going to have a good time like Sarah. It's about setting expectations is what I'm saying.
Lower, what's the fucking song? Lower your expectations a lot. I don't remember who sang that or what it actually sounds like. But maybe it's a Bo Burnham song? Maybe. I don't fucking remember. I'm going to fucking look it up or else it's going to bother me. Yup, it's a Bo Burnham song. There we go. Right.
So
yeah, if you want love, lower your expectations a lot. Except instead of love, it's if you want to enjoy watching an anime, lower your expectations.
Look, I watch so much anime.
like
honestly, this is pretty good to compared to some of the stuff I watch.
See, I don't have time to watch so many shows. Like, the shows I watch for this podcast are, like, some of the few things I get to watch these days. And so thinking that this was the show I got to watch this month, and then they pull that bullshit, and I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we're doing this then.
But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I'm actually for with this show,
okay.
Right?
Okay,
this
lay it
happened
on
in
me.
Episode 3. Like, I honestly, this I'm more cool with than a show that's good pulling the rug on you later.
Hmm.
So I was cool with it just being middle of the road mediocre because I knew what to expect. I just like seeing. Because here's the thing, again, the characters are good, the voice acting is good, the animation's decent, and then the songs are really good. So if you go in for that, it's fine. If you go in expecting the plot to make sense or there to be good financial decision making.
I feel like I'm being mocked. I feel like I'm being teased. I feel like I'm being pointed at aggressively. Being like, haha, this bitch cares about the anime's financial decisions. What? What do you want me to do? What do you want from me? I just had to do my taxes for the year. Leave me alone. I had to get so many 1099s. You wouldn't even fucking believe how business I am.
You're so business, Star.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm
so business. I met with my fucking investment guy yesterday. Because I have one of those now.
Wow.
Because I don't have a job that's going to give me retirement. So I have to find out another way to not work until I die, which involves getting into stonks.
Or Star. You can become
what the fuck are you about to say?
You can become a 30-year-old idol.
I'm turning you down right now. I am leaving the Discord call. I am checking out. Listen, not for lack of trying, but it's just like the only reason I haven't gotten back into doing cosplay idol stuff is just because it's more fun to do it with a group and I can't motivate myself to do it if other people aren't doing it with me. So that's where we're at.
Eternal Girls. I'm seeing the vision.
Let's make that our show. too busy and washed up to be actual idols, and now we just make a podcast about it.
I feel like I feel like podcasters would be a good a candidate for an idol group in a weird anime.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When's our anime? We're in our 30s.
Let's go.
Let's fucking go. Oh, man.
So I guess continuing the plot, we're all over the place here, but that is the
idea. We are so all over the place.
Fair,
I hope this is still, you know, engaging to listen to. No one's going to watch this show.
Well, maybe. I enjoyed it. I had fun with it. Was it a great show? No. Was it a good enough show for me? Yeah.
It's good enough if you watch it at 2x speed.
Honestly, though, I think because I really like the voice acting, I think watching it at about faster speed, I would like it less. Just because of that.
Fair enough.
Because they had really good voice actors.
I procrastinated and had to watch it faster because I took too long. That's another part of it.
No one needs to know.
It's about 50-50 on the reason. That was the reason I started doing it. But then it was just
then
like,
it was
kind of boring. And then it was, yeah.
But overall plot, characters meet each other, right? They start doing idol stuff. They immediately have the, you should just quit. Oh no, I'm actually going to come back because I really want to become an idol thing from Sanada, the main character.
And then they try and do the what is it? The shopping mall venue concert, and it goes terribly. So check that one off on your bingo card. If this that's what it is though.
It's
a paint by numbers idol show that's trying to check off every idol trope on our bingo sheets.
Yep. Though they have a fun one afterwards where the shopping mall doesn't go well, so they go to a supermarket, and that goes well because a bunch of older people shop there rather than teens.
It was very cute.
Yep. From there, what happens is we get Kakizaki leaving. That's part of it. There's a bunch of the Indigital Boys' episodes, including, like we said, the child actor idol meeting with the now child actor, and we hear about the Ishida backstory. Ishida specifically is really into this other idol group called Gentlemen.
When they first dropped the name Gentlemen, they were like, we should do a dance cover of Gentlemen.
The Psy song.
I was like, the Psy song?
Same.
I'm glad I'm not alone there. So glad that you're on the same boat with me, Sarah.
He's like,
hello? The guy who ruined my webcomic? Hello?
Other webcomic. For those of you who have not followed Star for a while.
Yeah, well, that one's for my ancient fans who've been following me on the internet for a while. Y'all will get that joke.
But Gentlemen being an idol group that has been around since our now eternal boys were kids, but they just were so popular for so long that they're still going, even though they're the same age as the Eternal Boys, and they're also still very, very popular. They barely appear, but they're relevant just for the Deus Ex Machina at the end, really, and also, I guess, because they're in the mobile game.
Yeah, shrug.
But their music is also good. Actually, the song that the Gentleman song that they cover is really fun. It's jazzy.
Motherfucking Gentlemen.
But then we have a whole lot of montages throughout, like, basically after Kakizaki leaves, it's montage after montage of them becoming good idols, crowds growing, them dancing. After Kakizaki leaves, he does get a replacement. His name is Nikolai. He is big buff blonde and loves pickles.
Also, we'd seen him in the show before he actually joins the idol group because he's like Pepe's carrier.
Yes, the handler.
The handler. Yes, thank you. He shows up and just like wordlessly takes the cat, and then he comes back later with the cat. The most screen time we get from him before he joins the group is there's a bit where the cat gets out and they have to go find the cat and he's all distressed about it.
Yep. And his whole vibe is he's very much like silent, but like secretly kind of just, you know, soft on the inside. Hard on the outside, soft on the inside.
Soft on the inside and not the quirky.
Yes, a little quirky because he just, his only passion in life is pickles and pickling, really.
He's just a weird guy, but weird and like, you're kind of fun and I will watch this show and enjoy when you are on screen kind of character.
Yes, he's very fun. He's big, buff, blonde. He has like long hair and a low ponytail, blue eyes. I think he's probably supposed to be half, right? The blonde characters always
are. Yeah, he's a half Russian or whatever character. But it doesn't really translate into the subtitles well. If this is a dub, this would have been... This show is never getting a dub, but if it ever got a dub, it would be very funny to see how they translate his dialogue, because I guess part of his quirk is that he's constantly bouncing back and forth between different dialects, because like me, he learned bad Japanese by listening to other people talk. And I'm like, oh, same hat. I gesticulate wildly between like super formal and way too casual. Because I learned by eavesdropping on my fellow teachers and high school students who say yabai too much.
So Nikolai's backstory is when he came to Japan, he had trouble fitting in. So he just kind of copied everyone around him until he, you know, kind of found people who liked him and went his whole life just copying everyone and hiding his true love, which is pickles. But eventually Kakizaki found him. He worked for the host club for a while, and Kakizaki's like, embrace your pickleness, my dude. We love you. And then later, when they reunited, Kakizaki's like, I'm quitting being an idol. Take my place. And he's like, yes, anything for you.
And there's kind of like this cute little moment where when he first joins the idol group, he's kind of trying to be Kakizaki, and nobody likes it because he's not as hot. Yep. Like, I'm sorry, but the show makes it clear he's not as hot.
Yep.
He's got like the drawn on cheekbones of man who is too severe. But then like he is like, maybe all the other boys were just like, hey, why don't you just be yourself? And he was like, okay. And so he does that. And then all the ladies are wooed by his pickles. Mm-hmm. It's very silly.
Yes. But though it's fun having like this, you know, the hard on the outside, soft on the inside person or character is always kind of fun to watch.
Yeah.
So I can understand that.
I can relate as someone who is apparently it very intimidating depending on who you're talking to. I just have resting bitch face.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
So after that, Kagizaki leaves, right? Then very soon announces that they're going to have their Budokan show. They try to get more and more popular for the Budokan show. They have their first album coming out. They have a bunch of performances. They do pretty well. Again, the lives are pretty good. I really do enjoy mm-hmm. the music. It's fun.
Yeah,
they're all
no, I mean,
very
it's,
jazzy.
It's good. Yeah.
The outfits are actually really great too. The backstory there is Kakizaki just like commissions them from his host club. But they're a nice mix.
I think they said that they were like repurposed old suits from the host club, which is fun.
But they all have like little, they're all separate. Like they all look different from each other, but you could tell they have like common elements. They're all based on suits. They have similar material, but they each have like their little image color in there. Very cute.
They're quirky.
From there, though, things start going south. the first one is that there is a mistake.
Scandal.
A scandal where Haru gets photographed with his son. But his son's face is all blurred out, so you can't even tell gender or age, right?
And so some people on, like, the chat of one of his live streams is like, hey, why were you seen with, like, a child? What the fuck is your deal? And I don't know how, because, okay, but cards on the table. I had never heard this phrase before. I assume it's just a weird thing that they couldn't translate very easily. I feel like the best thing you could translate it to is maybe like a sugar daddy type of situation.
Yeah, it seemed like it.
Because they call it a daddy lifestyle. And they're like, what, are you living the daddy lifestyle? And he's like, oh, yes.
Yep.
And then everybody's like, what do you mean? What do you mean you're living a daddy lifestyle? And so it's like explodes on the internet and it's a scandal. And then the other guys come and talk to him about it. And they're like, bro, why did you say that you're living a daddy lifestyle? And he's like, because I am. What do you mean? You know I have a son. And they're like, dude, that's not what that means. And he's like, what does it mean?
Which is, the whole plot is like, yeah, this is a 40-year-old guy. This would happen. This would 100% happen.
I'm going to be honest. Like these couple of episodes were kind of the highlight just because I do like Haru. I do like a lot of the characters. I think he's funny because he's a little bit of that himbo personality.
Yeah.
He's not like the super loving women style of himbo, but he's like the buff and stupid guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, I...
And
he's got two out of the three, right?
But he doesn't immediately clear the air because, to his a very fair point, he doesn't want to talk about his son because he doesn't want the media to focus on his son.
But then the son is like, but then like immediately the son is like, oh my god, dad, I got so many new Instagram followers after it came out that I was your son, so that's neat, and it's totally fine, and it was never an issue.
It was never an issue.
All right, it could have been interesting, but we're just not going to do it, I guess.
But because of that, they start losing sponsorship. Very specifically, there's a place called Aloha Drinks, and the owner is a big stickler for everyone acting proper. Sanada and Haru go to apologize to him. It seems like it falls through, but he changes his mind later on after Haru coaches his grandson with soccer.
He doesn't like really change his mind though, because like they never get the commercial back. They were gonna do a commercial, and then Haru accidentally, before he apologizes, he's like, he's, you know, he's like teaching this random kid in the park soccer, And then this old guy comes up to him. He's like, hey, aren't you Haru Asai, the soccer player? And he's like, yeah, who are you, random old guy? and he's like, then he finds out that that guy is the fucking manager of this big company that they were there to apologize to. And it's like, oh my God, this man is stupid.
Yep. Just a himbo.
This man is stupid, and it's ruining their reputation with his low intelligence score.
So even when it comes out that, yes, it's Haru's son, the popularity of Eternal Boys is still not great. So two bad things happened. Kakizaki left. Kakizaki already being the most popular person in the group at that point. Haru causes this daddy scandal. Then after that, Ren, who's the child actor for the company, he leaves. His contract's up and his parents don't renew because the production company sucks.
Yeah, they make, say it with me, kids, bad business decisions.
Anyway. The guys are still getting ready for their Budokan show and their album release, which is right before the Budokan show.
Literally a week before. Like, what the fuck were you thinking?
Tickets are selling poorly. They get a bunch of posters ordered that have misspellings and they have to fix them all overnight by hand.
Typos of them! And the typos of the logo of the group! Oh my god!
And then,
it's like if you ordered posters for BTS and they said BTX. Yeah. And it's like, how the fuck did that slip through? How the fuck did that slip through?
Why didn't they order proofs?
1,000 posters! They ordered more posters! They show they have like an entire warehouse full of posters and they can't even sell like 200 tickets to this Budokan show! And they ordered 10,000 posters!
And then the final nail in the coffin for their Budokan show is the side group Story of Love, Still Love, the young idol boys who've been doing great. They announce a concert on the same exact day as the Budokan show.
Doomed prospect from day one. And then they just keep fucking it up even worse every time. Eternal boys. Eternally fucking up boys, more like. What?
Smoking a cigarette being like, these business decisions. It's so unrealistic in my anime.
None of these boys know a goddamn thing about stonks.
So we're towards the end of the plot. They have their Budokan live. Again, the music is really cute. There's
it is good. The music is good. No more again.
The music is good.
Music's good.
They actually have a pit stonks. Full of people, but again, Budokan's like 10,000 seats. They maybe sell 500.
Very big. Yep.
But everyone who's there does enjoy it, including, as you see in the eaves, one of the guys who is the stars of Gentlemen, the very, very, very popular idol group.
Motherfucking Gentlemen.
And at the very end, they sing their last song. I think the guys at this point all know that they didn't sell enough tickets, so they invite Kakizaki.
The company's going bankrupt. Yeah. They don't give a shit anymore. And so, yeah, they invite Kakizaki, the host club boy, up, and then it's like the seven boys.
And they,
like,
they sing the first opening together, which is always cute when they sing the first opening. どこまでも続く青さに僕たちは惹かれていたんだ何度でもいつだってきっとまた走り出せる Yes, cute. And then at the very end, our last episode, which again is only like 10 minutes long, it's announced they didn't make enough money. The company is absolutely going under. They all have to figure out what they want to do, if they want to stay on the sinking ship or if they want to go and get other jobs. So each of the boys goes and decides what to do, and they all eventually come to the decision that we're going to stay on the sinking ship. So they do.
Because the manager gives, they said, we can keep you guys on for like 6 months, but after that, we're stopping production of you guys.
Yep. So they do, except for Haru, like, gets the best part of the deal where Sonata is like, I know a lot about employment law. You can have two jobs at the same time. So you can teach children soccer at the same time as you become an idol. So that's okay for him, I guess. And then in the last few seconds of the show,
literally the last like 3 minutes of the show, holy shit.
Star, do you want to do it? Because I think the beef is best heard from your mouth. Meatmonger Star.
Yeah, yes, hello, it's me. I'm here to tell you about stonks and bad business decisions and the deus ex machina of this fucking anime's ending. So apparently, anyway, they uploaded the videos of their concert to YouTube because they were just like, fuck it, we're not selling Blu-rays of this shit, right? So they uploaded to YouTube, and apparently the guy from Gentleman, who was in the audience of the show, like retweeted the video or something and said, I was there and it was good. And he's so popular that a whole shit ton of people go watch the videos from the Eternal Boys concert, and they get a little peak in popularity. And it's just enough. Enough to keep them from having to quit, and they can continue to all be idols forever, actually.
Until they die, because they're old.
Until they die, because we cannot commit to shit. They can't commit to shit. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's the end of the fucking show. Is actually, we don't have to quit, because we're too... week of writers to commit to the boys leaving, and that would be a sad note to end our anime on. And we can't have a sad ending to a show about old people, because then the implication is that they'll never be happy again.
So that's why the ending sucks, right? So I feel like, right, if we want to talk about how to fix the show, those last few seconds should have been like a last arc, and a lot of the weird filler just should not have been there. because I think that's what would have made it a good show, right? Is if, because I think that's the part that'd be interesting. It less hitting each of these idol beats, like the mall performance, the handing out flyers, all of that. The part that's interesting, right? The part that would be interesting or something new is, especially like having that parallel story to like Sanada, whose company went out of business, if halfway through the season, instead of Kakizaki leaving the group and that becoming a whole plot point, maybe
the company goes bankrupt,
right?
And they have to figure out what to do. And then they kind of like come to the realization, it's like, oh shit, that's really sad. But then they work really hard and they do a bunch of stuff, and they just get like a little bit lucky, and they can use all of their connections to help them. Yeah. And then they're like, they come around, and like, it's still, they're still not the most popular, but they're happy and satisfied with what they have, and they earned that ending.
See, that would have been made it a good show, because the part that's enjoyable, again, they're strong with the characters, they're strong with the voice acting, they're strong with the music. It's just that this plot...
The plot! I'll say it! I will say it! The plot of the show fucking sucks!
But I will say, again, Star has her own opinions, especially because of their financial matters. And that being the main reason, of course, for her. But for me, I did enjoy it. And there was a part in the middle of the show, which I think was an apt metaphor for the show in general, where at some point they all end up in a sento. So they're all taking a bath together, and there's a painting on the wall.
I know this bit.
They think it's Mount Fuji, and they're like, that's a nice painting of Mount Fuji. And they look at it, and they're like, wait, that's not Mount Fuji. And they're like, what mountain is it? And they're like, I don't know, but it's a nice mountain, right? So for me,
it's not the best mountain in Japan, but it's a nice mountain. And I'm like, yeah, that's a metaphor for how your show kind of sucks.
For me, honestly, wasn't the best show at all. Definitely not the best idol show. But I think the parts that suck, the main plot, for me, as somebody who is emphasis on character and likes music, I think it evened out for me, and I enjoyed my time. Also, it was, the funny parts were genuinely funny. I think when they tried to do jokes, they were good at landing jokes.
The fucking Scandal plotline was very funny. Yeah. I will give it that. It's just like, we need to have a Scandal plot to fill in this part on our bingo sheet. What's the silliest way we could do it, considering that all our characters are old men?
They all know what sugar daddies do. Yes.
What is a sugar daddy? Yeah, I'm a dad. I'm a daddy. What about it? And then everyone's just like, stop saying that shit. You have to stop saying that shit. He's like, why? I am a daddy. It's like, what that's what that child calls me. He calls me daddy. And they're just like, stop.
He's like, yeah, of course I'll buy him a car. I'll buy whatever he wants. I'm his daddy.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is actually what would happen if this was a real little girl.
Yeah.
Get into a scandal because they don't know slang. Funniest possible way they could have filled that spot on the bingo board.
It's great.
Honestly,
it's
legitimately
wonderful. But yeah. But otherwise, they're checking boxes. But they're checking boxes, and they're not doing their taxes well.
No. They're checking boxes, but not on their yearly tax organizer.
Look, if they know they're going to have to claim bankruptcy at some point, bankruptcy sets your debts to zero. Why not book the Budokan?
Boy.
So anyway, Star, who's your favorite character?
I don't fucking know. I know I said Ishii at the start, and then I remembered that Soccer Guy is there, and he's also fun because he's
himbo.
Dumb. I like the stupid ones. Thumbs up emoji.
Honestly, I really enjoyed Sanada. I think because I work corporate, I'm like, I relate to you as a normal person.
That's very fair. I relate to you, normal man who works in sales.
I am also a normal person who has a corporate job. Shakes your hand.
Shakes your hand, exchanges
business
cards.
Signs off the team's meeting. Here we go.
Let's go. Sarah's like, I know, I've been in the trenches with this man.
Probably. So, I guess overall, maybe watch the lives, clips of the lives, if you like the characters. Honestly, like, some of the plots string together, like the daddy plot is two episodes, but you also don't have to watch every single episode if you watch the show. It's kind of episodic.
Yeah. So you can they're like half episode episodic. Mm-hmm. So like, you just zoom over a lot of this stuff.
So if you want to watch it, if you're feeling bored, just go to the next episode and you won't be missing much.
Yep. Anyway.
I think, so this is us trying this new format, our not going episode by episode format. Let us know how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it does work out for this show because there was so little plot stringing the episodes together.
True.
So we don't have to spend as much time talking about every single little thing, which is nice. Because like Oshinoko, there's a fucking lot of shit going on in Oshinoko. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that one was worth being 2 hours long. But this one's looking at like only going to be an hour, and that's so refreshing for us.
It's a great time.
Let's go. I love making short content. The hour-long podcast episode.
That being said, we do need to talk about what we're watching next, so you can all watch along with us.
Summer of Love Live, I really want to watch the new season.
I kind of want to watch New Idol 7 also.
That too. Do we want to put it to a vote?
Okay, let's do it. So,
vote for our audience.
Vote for the audience. That sounds great. We have two options for what we might want to watch next.
Yeah.
We will be posting those options in our Discord, and we are going to ask for you all to vote what we watch next. And that'll be your next one. So look for us in our Discord. Star, where can people find links to our Discord page?
We have links in the description of the episode on whatever podcast viewer or YouTube video watcher that you are watching / listening to this episode on. You can also find a link to the Discord on our podcast. If you just Google Idle Days Podcast, the card website that we have should show up. idledays.card.co. That's our website. I remember what it is. I Yep, that's it. Or idilluminati.com.
Wahoo!
.net. Idilluminati.net. Sorry.
I actually own both domains.
Of course you do! It's just you always said .net, so I assumed you only had .net.
.net is funnier, I think.
It is, but yeah. Idilluminati.website.
Idilluminati.gov. Uh-oh.
.gov? Oh, no. It goes deeper than we thought. Whew, boy. .org. Actually, that... Now, let's think about that one. That one would actually... Okay. It is an organization.
Hear me out. .edu. Okay. Idol school?
Ooh! That's us. We're the Idol school. Where were your professors at Idol College?
Full warning, I'm not buying all of these domains, everyone. Unless we get... This is a promotion for you all to watch us on YouTube and subscribe.
Hey, subscribe to the new YouTube channel. Guys, I'm going to come at you hard and fast with some YouTube shilling because we are halfway to monetization. Whoa. We've got half of our required hours of view time and we've got half the subscribers necessary. Ooh. We need less than 500 subscribers until we can monetize the show. And if folks watch the episodes on YouTube, that'll count towards our goal of hitting 4,000 watch hours for the last cumulative year. And then we'll be able to monetize the show. And we can use it to pay for Sarah's Crunchyroll subscription and any other subscriptions we need to
get. And domain names.
And silly domain names. Idilluminati.gov.
We'll see if they let us do that one.
We will if we call all of our connections with the people we know from our old corporate jobs.
Ooh, I do know government people from my corporate job.
Let's go! I don't know why we're so giggly this episode.
It's because you just did your taxes. And
I just did my taxes I'm free.
And I've been spending my whole afternoon watching the anime Cherry Magic, Does 30 Years of Virginity Make You a Wizard?
What?
And so this has been
Idle Days. I heard of the show, but I didn't know that you were watching it.
This has been Idle Days.
You're telling me that this is your chaser after watching 30 Years of Being a Virgin Makes You a Wizard?
Yes.
Well, no wonder we're in such a fucking weird mood.
Old man Yowie, everyone.
Well, so anyway, this has been Idle Days.
We've been lady.
Fucking lady.
See you next life. Bye.
Bye.